KSL at night.
You're back with us on KSL at Night. I'm your host this evening, Greg Skordas, KSL legal analyst. And I'm lucky to be joined by a good friend of mine, Daniel Woodruff, who's joined the KSL family. I guess I wasn't keeping track of that as well as I should have, but I saw you a year ago down at the trial in Ada County for the Lori Vallow case. And of course, I see you again today, almost a year to the day when we were there, and thinking, well, are you covering that again? But you're covering different things now.
Yeah, I'll be covering that trial a little bit later on in it. But yeah, I joined the KSL TV family in January. So coming up on 3 months here.
Oh, I'm asleep at the wheel. I'm sorry. Embarrassed. But you know, I guess I just see you around and I assume, well, there's Woodruff. Hey, so talk to us. We're talking about a new bill that was enacted and signed by Lieutenant Governor Deidre Henderson. I'll get you to talk about that. HB 84, which allows that requires schools to have panic buttons. Well, you could tell us what that means. That teachers can press in of an emergency. Schools to have some sort of armed guard inside. So break this down, Daniel. What is it that this bill is intended to do? And it seems like, and we'll talk about this too, this must be expensive.
Yeah. House Bill 84 is a massive school safety bill. So this got some attention during the session, and it ended up passing with pretty broad support. There were a few no votes on each side. But basically what it does is, and the list is very long, but as you noted, there are kind of two main ones that get a lot of attention. It requires some sort of armed guardian to be in schools. It requires that teachers have access to panic buttons, that if there was an emergency like an active shooting or even something like a medical emergency in the classroom, that they could press it and it would go directly to law enforcement, who could then respond much faster. So they could just in the moment push the button as opposed to having to make a call and describe what's going on in the classroom.
Almost like a push button 911. But I'm sure it's a different system. But yeah.
Yeah. So those are the two things that have gotten a lot of attention. But it does a lot of other things as well. It actually requires certain security outfitting of school buildings, like security ballistic film on the windows of first floor buildings. It talks about mandatory reporting of threats that state employees or school employees come across. It establishes training for school resource officers, and it requires emergency communication systems and basically a whole slew of things that the bill sponsor said is designed to get Utah schools to where they need to be before a tragedy happens, because he said, and he's done, Representative Ryan Wilcox has done some legislation in the past. He told me yesterday, he said, Utah was nowhere near ready for dealing with something like this, even with some of the laws that have been passed. He hopes this gets them a little bit closer.
Okay, so you've mentioned two words that I want to ask you about: armed guards and school resource officers. Are we talking about the same thing?
Generally, the bill is written in such a way, as I looked at it, that it requires that in schools that they have one of those. So a school resource officer, a school guardian, or an armed security guard. But basically someone there who, as Representative Wilcox put it to me yesterday, is willing and able to intervene and trained to intervene with force in the moment before first responders even get there.
Don't we have those already? I don't know. It seems like some schools have the resource officer who's teaching driver's ed, but packs a gun, and you know, teaches math, but also is a post certified police officer. It seems like we have these people already. Maybe not in all the schools, but in some schools.
And I think you'd probably find that, yeah, in some schools, they're already there. They've got their vehicles parked out front in very visible locations. In other schools, they're not. So this bill was designed to basically make that uniform. I will note there are some exceptions that schools can apply for depending on case-by-case circumstances, like their school population or where they're located and things like that. It's all laid out in the bill, but generally designed to uniformly ensure that there's someone there armed and ready to intervene.
Okay, and then you talked about the safety outfitting, like the first floor has like bulletproof glass or something.
It doesn't say bullet, and I wish I was an expert in this.
Yeah.
But as I looked at it, it talks about security ballistic film, and it's basically...
Ballistic sounds like a bullet.
It does, okay. And I'm sure you could go talk to a security expert about right. What exactly goes into that. But essentially outfitting these buildings to be a little bit safer and prevent maybe an intruder or bullets or something like that. That's part of the bill as well.
So you've got some districts in the state, and I won't call any out, that are really flush, that have some dough, and you've got some districts that maybe not so much. Is there some concern that schools might not be able to comply with the bill because of financial reasons. And I'm sure, Daniel, that the legislature put some fiscal note and some money behind this, but are schools concerned about being able to afford this?
Yes. So I went after, let me preface it, Greg, with this. There was a ceremony yesterday, a ceremonial signing of the bill. Governor Cox was unavailable to be there because his wife, First Lady Abby Cox, was in surgery. And so Lieutenant Governor Deidre Henderson signed this bill ceremonially. It had already been signed. And they celebrated it and said it'll make a great difference. There were families of the Parkland, Florida school shooting victims here in Utah that were praising it, saying this is exactly what we need. One of them, the mother of a 14-year-old girl, ninth grader, who had been killed, she particularly wanted these panic buttons. She believes that her daughter's legacy is essentially when teachers push these panic buttons, they're saving lives, that there's going to be help a lot faster. And so there was a lot of celebration, but as is often the case, there are two sides with every story. I reached out to the Granite School District, and the chief of staff there, Ben Horsley, told me these ideas, the philosophy behind them, they're great ideas. They are expensive ideas. And he particularly pointed to the security ballistic film on the windows. He said Granite School District has over 80 buildings in the district, and that particular film on the windows starts at $25 a square foot. And he said, do the math.
You don't get it at Lowe's. You don't have your guy install it. I mean, this is a big deal.
I'd like security ballistic film for 80 schools.
80 schools, right.
And he just said, this is going to be very, very expensive. And he particularly was critical of the legislature, which did provide money. And you can go look on the bill at a number of categories that help fund this. But basically, Granite School District said, in a nutshell, the legislature did not provide enough money by a long shot. And unless they pony up more money, the Granite School District, as an example, may have to go look at raising taxes to pay for all of the requirements in the bill. You talk about armed guards.
Right.
He said that's millions of dollars alone.
Sure, it's gotta be.
On an ongoing basis, not satisfied
not
with one-time money,
right.
Because you've got to hire people to do that.
Right. And I don't know if you know the answer to this, but do our schools distinguish? That is there a greater level of security at a high school than a grade school or a middle school, or are the schools a school?
I wouldn't know that, how they're currently designated, but this bill deals with schools and making sure they're more secure.
And our public schools.
Public schools.
And who was the legislator that you were dealing with on this? Who
Representative Ryan Wilcox was the sponsor.
And what was his impetus? What got him rolling on this?
He's been really involved. In fact, he told me he's visited a lot of the schools in Uvalde, Texas, and in Tennessee, and then Parkland, Florida, trying to learn from what happened there so that we in Utah can do better. In fact, the father of one of the boys who was killed in Parkland told me yesterday that when I talked to him, he said, this is amazing what Utah is doing because most people react to tragedy. He feels Utah is proactively trying to prevent a tragedy. Because we haven't had a tragedy on that scale like that at a school. And here's a bill with some pretty meaty things in it, trying to make sure that we can be as prepared as we can be.
And other than the financial concerns, it would seem that schools would be supportive of this. Is that the take you're getting?
At least when I talked to, as an example, Granite, they loved the ideas. It's just practically
how are we
speaking,
gonna implement it?
Someone's got to pay for it.
Because of the cost of it.
Yeah.
Very well. Well, thank you and welcome to the KSL
family. Thank you very much for having me.
I'm embarrassed I haven't introduced myself to you as a fellow KSL employee. You know, you and I crossed paths so many times and so over the years. It's been fun to see your career go crazy, and I'm glad you're with us
now. Thank you. I'll come on KSL at night anytime.
Okay, so. Good for you. Thanks. And when we come back after the break, I'm going to take you all up to a place I saw Daniel last, which is Boise, Idaho, and talk to you about the opening statements of the Chad Daybell trial. Stay with us.